Well, as I said earlier in the prayer time, today we wrap up the series on the Spirit-filled life. In this series, we've been talking about what it looks like for a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and what that looks like for life. So what that looks like for your salvation, what that looks like for the work of ministry, what that looks like for worship, what that looks like for evangelism, and many, many other things. Everything we do in the Christian life is empowered and is driven by the Holy Spirit of God. So today, as we wrap up the series, I want to talk to you about freedom in Christ, because I believe this encapsulates, this summarizes everything that we've been studying in this series. And through the Holy Spirit, we experience freedom in Christ. And so we are free to be the church. We are free to minister. We are free to evangelize. We are free to experience our salvation in Jesus Christ. And we are free to tell others about him. We are free to do all these things through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to submit to you today that true freedom is found in Jesus Christ alone, period. True freedom is found in Jesus Christ alone, period. Picking up in our text, verse 1 in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So here's the deal. There is condemnation for those who are not in Christ Jesus. See, because of our sin, the way our hearts are bent away from God, the way that we rebel and the way we trespass, there's condemnation. We are condemned. We are declared guilty. And I think if we're really honest, Christians and non-Christians, there's a little voice somewhere in our heart that tells us of this condemnation. And so people look to many places to try to find freedom. These things may promise freedom, and they indeed do, but they will not deliver. And why is this? Because condemnation remains. And so in our culture, we find that people try to find freedom in many things, in sexuality. People say, if I can just do whatever I want with my sexuality, then I'll be free. Or if I can do whatever I want with my money, I'll be free. If I can believe whatever I want to believe, I'll be free. If I can do whatever I want to do, I'll be free. We can look to many different things, and this isn't an exhaustive list. We can look to anything and everything for freedom. But the reality is, I think if we're really honest, apart from Jesus Christ, that condemnation remains. And that voice that says there's something more, that voice that says there's something wrong here, that angst, I think if we're really honest, if we're apart from Jesus Christ, is there. No matter where we go, it's going to be there. And so Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, has set you free from sin and death. And this is the true freedom that we as Christians cling to. This is the only freedom. And Spirit-filled Christians, so people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, they walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Christians are free to live the life, to live the Christian life with confidence and power. Christians live in confidence humbly, knowing that it is ultimately Jesus Christ that lives through them. And so freedom that we experience through Jesus Christ gives us confidence and power as a church and as individual Christians. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the nature of this freedom in Christ that we experience this morning. Spirit-filled Christians experience freedom from at least three things: from dead religion, from man's pursuits and hostility with God. And I want to set this up for you before we dive into the text. If you are following along with me here in chapter 8, 1 through 11, you'll find that flesh and spirit is talked about often. So there's a choice. We can either set our minds on the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit. And so the things of the flesh, simply put, is us. We set our focus on us. To set our minds on the things of the Spirit is to set our minds on the things of the Lord and to let the Holy Spirit of God have his way. So number one, we are set free in Jesus Christ as Spirit-filled Christians from dead religion. Now before I start on this, I want to introduce a tension. And this comes from Pastor Timothy Keller of New York. Everyone's on one or two sides of a continuum. There's either the hyper-religious, people who err on that side, and then there's the hyper-irreligious. The hyper-religious and the hyper-irreligious. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ seeks to bring this tension into focus. Because it's not this hyper-religion where it's the things that we do to bring us to God, but it's also not hyper-irreligion where we're free to do whatever we want with our lives. So I want to set this up to you. And as a pastor that I had in Oklahoma City said, throughout this next 10 or 15 minutes, it's going to be like we're on a subway through New York City. And so I invite you through the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes to stay with me. Because if you get off the subway, you're going to be in a really dark and weird place. And so I invite you to buckle up for these next 10 or 15 minutes as I work through this. Because we're getting to a destination, we're getting to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. And so I invite you to ride along on this journey here. And so we are set free from dead religion. We are set free from dead religion. So here's what dead religion insists on. Dead religion insists that law is able to set us free. That the things that we do are able to set us free. And dead religion comes in many shapes and forms. There are many different sets of rules and regulations that people set up. And I believe Paul in this text is primarily speaking to the Jewish people. So they had the law of Moses, the 650 rules in the beginning of the Bible. This book was both to Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles meaning people who are not Jewish. And the gospel of Jesus Christ confronts that and it sets people free from dead religion. If we are focusing here on verse 3 and 4, I want to read this to you. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So people who follow dead religion and dead works insist on following law in their own flesh, without outside intervention. So they might say, I can read through this Bible and I'm doing pretty well. I'm tipping the scales. I follow as many rules as I possibly can. I uphold the law, and here's why I uphold the law, because I do this, 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 and this. And here's the problem with that. While the law of God is a very good thing, and I want to explain this to you in further detail later in the message, because it's a both and, right? So we don't ignore the law and throw it away, but we also don't cling to it for salvation, because there is a righteous requirement of the law. And so here's the problem with that. I am not able to uphold the righteous requirement of the law without outside intervention. Not able to do it. Not able to measure up to God's holiness by my own accord. And get this. It says the flesh actually weakens the law. The weakened by the flesh could not do. God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. It's like, here's my story. When I was growing up, I wasn't one that pursued a bunch of things like drugs, alcohol, or things of that nature. I put a lot of trust in what I did, and not a lot of trust in Jesus Christ. So I said things like, because I am doing this, this, and this, and because I'm not doing this, and this, and this, God will have to accept me now. Look at all the things I'm doing, God. And so then I felt a sense of entitlement, like, He owes me now. And it wasn't until I had a mentor in Wichita, Kansas, that showed me that, hey, Tim, you might not be doing X, Y, or Z, but you are just as sinful as anyone else. Like, here's what I was doing, the very thing that I was doing. I was insisting that I was righteous enough, and that in and of itself is a sin. That in and of itself is imprisonment. I was a captive to that, because I could never reach the righteous requirement of the law. And so here's what I saw, even though in my mind it's like, well, I'm not doing X, Y, or Z. God showed me that, no, you're on the same level as anyone else, and you need me just as anyone else. And it was there that I was set free. I felt the chains of dead religion fall off. That I then realized that it's not me, but Christ through me that works. And my only hope and my only certainty for meeting the righteous requirement of law is putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why is that? Here's how we are freed from dead religion. You see, Jesus Christ came to do what the law could never do, and what the flesh is unable to do, and that's to meet the righteous requirement of the law. See, Jesus Christ came and He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law perfectly on our behalf, and He was our substitute. So I, as Tim Ferriss, I was the one deserving of death and destruction. But Jesus came and said, no, I'm taking your place. I will bear the punishment that was supposed to be yours, and I'm going to take it on myself. I'm going to bear the wrath of God that was supposed to be yours. I'm going to bear your sin and the consequences of it that was supposed to be yours. And so that by believing in me, my righteousness is given to you. Not through me, but through Christ through me. He came in the flesh to condemn sin. He came in the flesh to condemn sin and fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. And so as Romans 7:6 says, we no longer serve in the old way the written code, but by the new way of the Spirit. So it's not about following the rules. Why? Because we are unable on our own behalf to measure up to God's goodness and holiness. And we can't even add to it. We can't even do, oh, I trust in you, Jesus, but then I do this, this, and this. I can't contribute anything to my salvation. And if I try to do that, I am imprisoning myself. I am a captive. Because I cannot measure up. And so we are set free from dead religion through Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit indwells us. Verses 5 and 6, we are also set free from man's pursuits. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit sets their minds on the things of the Spirit. And so here's that tension I was describing to you earlier, okay? So while it is true that we are set free from dead religion and earning a relationship with God, like, that is absolutely, without a doubt, true. It is also true that we are not free to sin and do whatever we want with our lives. And so it's this tension. And Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. He really kind of goes back and forth for a couple chapters. And so he really unpacks it. It's like, hey, it's not in the old way of the written code, but it's in the new way of the Spirit. You follow the Spirit. Jesus is your substitute. It's a big word called propitiation, which means that He was the person who took the wrath of God in our place. And then he says, but does that mean that I'm throwing away the law? By no means. Does that mean that I'm saying you are free to sin? By no means. And so it's a both and. It's a both and. I want to page back a little bit to Romans chapter 5, 18 to unpack this a little while. So here's how this works. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, that was through Adam, so one act of righteousness leads to justification of life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass. And so where the law comes, it increases the trespass. It shows all the different ways that we are sinful and all the different ways that we fall short. And it shows how that we are imprisoned to our sin. But by the one man, Jesus Christ's obedience, many are made righteous. What shall we say then? Are we continued in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So get this. We are free from trying to earn a relationship with God. And we are also free from our own pursuits, from following our own flesh. And so here's the deal on this side, where I insisted that no, freedom is found by the things that I do for God. Freedom is found by how well I measure up. Freedom is found by the rules X, Y, Z that I do. And then there's people on this side that says, no, freedom is found when I am free to make my own decisions and my own choices and follow my flesh. I love Romans chapter 20 through 20, excuse me, chapter 6, 20 through 23. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So some people believe it's like, hey, at least I don't have to submit to righteousness and to Jesus Christ. But here's what Paul says, but what fruit were you getting in that time from the things you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So here's what he's saying. If we choose to follow our own way in our own flesh, the end of those things is death. The end of those things is death. And so picking up in verse 6 of our text, here's the deal. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life, and it is peace. And Paul lists out things of the flesh. Galatians 5 talks about this. The works of the flesh are obvious. Talks about sexual immorality. Talks about greed. Paul talks about pride. He talks about strife. All these things that our flesh does. All the things that sin and the kingdom of the darkness informs. So we're free from dead religion, dead from our own sin. Free from it. We're also free from hostility with God. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, verse 7, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So here's the deal. Like insisting on our own way to earn righteousness, insisting that we can follow the rules good enough, or insisting that we follow our own flesh leads to hostility with God. Like, here's what that looks like. We have trespassed. We have sinned. We have not measured up to the goodness of God. And then there's hostility between us and Him. Not because He is a bad God and a angry God. He loves us so much, but there's hostility between us and Him. And we are set free from it. We have trespassed against God, and we have hearts that are bent away from God. And this leads to hostility. We cannot follow His law on our own. Indeed, our flesh is unable. But brothers and sisters, get this. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free. And so as Spirit-filled Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ. His Spirit comes and we are set free. And so with all this in mind, as we close this series on the Spirit-filled life, knowing that we are set free from dead religion and following the rules and regulations, knowing that we are set free from our flesh, what does that mean for Grandview Covenant Church? What does that mean for me and you? With all this in mind, there is absolutely no reason to put confidence in the flesh. There is no reason to put confidence in the flesh because the flesh is dead. Picking up in verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life is life because of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, we cannot put confidence in our flesh. We cannot put confidence in our flesh for the future of this church and for ministry. We cannot go and evangelize in our own flesh. We cannot worship God in our own flesh. We cannot deal with our own sin and darkness in our own flesh. The people we love and who we care about, we cannot bring them from death to life in our own flesh. I assure you, if you try to do things in the flesh, you will die trying. But on the flip side, for those who have experienced the indwelling of the Spirit of God, who see Jesus as he is, who see that they've been set free from sin and death and from rules and regulations to live a holy life to God, those who see that have a great deal of confidence because they know that Jesus Christ has come and intervened and done what they could not do for themselves. Because we know and are persuaded that he is faithful. And he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. That the living God is living in us. Like, get this. We do not believe that Jesus Christ was just there and now he's no longer living. It was just a thing of the past. Like, we actually believe that God continues to live on today, that he is alive and well, and that he is interacting with us through the power of his Holy Spirit. Like, we believe this. I am standing up here before you today, 110% sure and confident, knowing that God is alive and well, and that he is indeed living in you if you believe in Jesus Christ, and that he is overseeing this church and the future of this church. And that we don't have to do it in our own flesh, but we can look to him who is able, and we can go out in confidence and power. So each and every one of you and this church, we can go out in confidence knowing that Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost, and that the Spirit of God empowers us. Family and friends and acquaintances that you are aware of, the Holy Spirit can empower us to go to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to set captives free, and to bring them into the body of Christ. I believe and I am persuaded that he is able and faithful to do this, that we can come here on a Sunday morning and worship in spirit and truth, not in our own flesh. Worshiping in our own flesh is dead, but worshiping through the Spirit of God is life, because it's through him that we see Jesus for who he is, and we see it's like, hey, it's not I, but it's you through me. So Grandview Covenant Church and the people here can do great works. Can do great works. God can use this church for the furtherance of his kingdom. Not because of how great I am and not because how great you are. Because our flesh is dead. But it's because how great he is and how great his gospel is and how great his power is. And I know and I am persuaded that the Holy Spirit of God is with you. And so, brothers and sisters, have confidence in this as we go out. As you live a spirit-filled life as a church and individually, have confidence in him. Because after all, we have a great reason to be confident. We have a great reason because, after all, our God came down to earth, died a gruesome death, and was buried, and he took on our sin and our punishment, and he was risen again, and he sent his Holy Spirit to guide many into that reality, many into salvation. So if you're gathered here, if you're either listening or here, and you are not a Christian, I'm so glad that you are listening right now. I implore you to think about that voice of condemnation that I'm sure is there. And I implore you not to put confidence in the flesh, but to put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ. And for those gathered here who are Christian, who are believing in the name of Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, I say the same thing to you. As we move forward, I implore you to not put any confidence in the flesh, any confidence in what we can do for God. Rather, place all your confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God through you. Because it's through him that you're made righteous. And it's through him that you have conquered sin and death. It's through him that you walk in the good works prepared for you. And it's through him that you will be used in a mighty way. Each and every one of you uniquely. And